All right, let's open up our Bibles together. 1 Samuel chapter 3. If you don't have a Bible, pick one up over on the resource table. I think we also have extras of the journal Bibles. If you don't know what a journal Bible is, it is it's books in the Bible compacted just to that book. So we have one that's 1 and 2 Samuel together, so you can follow along. And what it does is it's got the scriptures on one side and a page to write notes, thoughts on the other side. I find it very helpful in Bible study. So we have those for 1 and 2 Samuel if you would like one, or we just have a normal Bible if you would like that. Either way, I'd encourage you to pick one up if you did not bring one so you can follow along with us. So we are at 1 Samuel chapter 3 as we continue on in our series through 1 Samuel. Now, this is God's holy word. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and he said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, I did not call you. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came, and he stood and calling at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears. Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. And I declare to him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew because his sons were blaspheming God and he did not restrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." Samuel lay until morning, then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." He said, "Here I am." And Eli said, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all that he told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he says, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." And Samuel grew and the Lord was with him and let none of the words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord, and the Lord appeared again at Shiloh. For the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Let's pray. God, as we open up your scripture, as we see your call to Samuel, we pray, Lord, that you would speak to us. That God, you would use this time for the edification of our souls, that we would grow closer to Christ through this, and ultimately that you would get all the glory. And so we pray, God, that you might speak and we might listen. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever been waiting for a phone call? Important phone call. Have you ever been looking forward to hearing from someone? I think because of technology today, we've lost a little bit of the anticipation, the little bit of the longing when it comes to being reached by somebody. I mean, as I look out at all of you, the vast majority of you have a cell phone, right? Here, right now. So in theory, somebody could call or text you in the moment. inevitably somebody doesn't have the ringer off and somebody will eventually get called. Do you understand? I mean, we're so easily accessible. So, like, the idea of waiting for and looking forward to a phone call is a little bit more foreign to us. But I'll date myself. Growing up, we had a landline. My kids are like, what's a landline? Well, it was this dinosaur phone that we would put on the wall in the kitchen, and it would have a long, long line, like cord to it, so you could be in like three rooms over and still be on the phone. And we would sit there and wait for phone calls. I remember this in high school. Somebody was supposed to call me. It was a friend or a girl, and like if it was the time that I was supposed to get the phone call, I sat in the kitchen and I stared at the phone. And I would periodically go up and pick up the phone and check to make sure our phone line hadn't been cut and it was still working. I'll remember like my mom or my dad would come to answer, like pick up the phone to use it. I'm like, what are you doing? Well, I'm making a phone call. I'm like, nope, I am waiting for a phone call. It's somebody's supposed to call me at 7. They're like, it's 7:10. They're running late. So you cannot use the phone. I would guard that phone. And then when the phone would ring, maybe one ring, and I would lunge and I would pick up the phone and be like, hey, and whoever the person was. I think when we hear from certain people, it stirs a longing within us. It causes an anticipation that we can't wait to hear from them. Well, our current passage today was a time in redemptive history amongst God's people where they stopped sitting by the phone. They stopped longing for and anticipating God reaching out to them. They had grown so accustomed to the silence that they were okay with it, that they were comfortable with it, that it didn't bother them. And yet, God graciously speaks to them in this time. And praise the Lord, Samuel was listening. So that's what we're going to spend the bulk of our time today on. What do we do when God speaks? How do we respond to God's word? We're going to break down the chapter very simply. For starters, we're going to look at the word of the Lord. We're going to see that God comes and speaks to his servant. So we're going to look at the word of the Lord. What does this mean? What does it mean that he wasn't speaking to them prior? And then secondly, we're going to look, and lastly, the hearer of the word. The hearer of the word. What do we do when we receive God's word? All right, so let's get started as we look at the word of the Lord. Last week, if you remember, for those of you who are here, if not, I'll give you an update. We were introduced to Eli, the priest's sons, Hophni and Phinehas. They were worthless, literally. The Bible says that they were worthless. They were despicable, wicked men. They stole from God. They stole from man. They were committing sexual immorality at the temple. They were just wicked people. But in the midst of seeing that, we saw that leadership matters to God. That God's not going to turn a blind eye forever with such bad leadership. So we see God introduce us to somebody who is the anti-Hophni, the anti-Phinehas, and his name is Samuel. He's a godly man. He's not worthless. He's not despicable. And what we see today is God's call to this man as God engages Samuel. In the midst of dysfunction and hopelessness, God speaks. Well, let's start at verse 1. First thing we need to see with the word of the Lord is that God's judgment is in the silence. God's judgment is in the silence. Verse 1, it says, now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli, and listen to this, the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. It was rare. And what we're seeing is that God's word, his speaking, was not something that was common amongst his people. Arguably the most rare, most valuable, desired car in the world today amongst collectors is the 1962 Ferrari 250 GTO. Made in 1962, 39 of them were made. 2018 or 19, one of them was sold at an auction for $70 million. $70 million. Why would somebody spend $70 million on a car? I have no idea, but part of the reason is because this car is rare. It's unique. It's special. So here's a news flash. When you all leave today and you go to the store and drive home and go to the park and whatever you do today, you are not going to be driving by a 1962 Ferrari 250 GTO. So don't call me later and like, you won't believe it, Joe. It didn't happen. I feel comfortable enough, I feel confident enough in saying that this car is so rare, it's so rare nobody in Toledo has it, okay? Well, that's kind of how it was with God's word amongst his people at this time. Hebrews 1:1 says this, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But what we see happening right here, right now, is this is one of the seasons that it's not many times, it's not many ways, he's not speaking regularly with them. And I think when we start considering this, we start to need to understanding that there is a value, there is a uniqueness, there's a special nature to when God speaks. And I think we've lost a little bit of that wonder. I think with you and I, we have our Bible app. We go home, and some of you might have 20, I'm not even exaggerating, 30 Bibles in your houses that we've taken for granted God's word, that he speaks. Well, do you take for granted his word? Because his speaking is not only not common in our passage, his silence is consequence. His silence is consequence. That's what's being drawn attention to in verse 1. The word of the Lord was rare. There was no frequent visions. Why wasn't there? Because God was judging them. His silence was judgment. We know what this looks like practically in our lives. Who here has ever participated in silent treatment? Raise your hand. Everybody raise your hand. Because you've done this at some point. Marriage people. I mean, I'm a pastor. I've done marriage counseling. I'm married, so I've experienced this. The Amish shunning in the house. Where you say or do something and I mean, and we don't have a huge house, like when that kind of silent treatment happens, I mean, you're walking down, one comedian was making fun of, like, you're going down the hall and you kind of have to walk by and they're not talking, so you're like, excuse me, and you understand, like, that shunning, that idea of because you're upset at the individual, you're not talking. Now, pastorally speaking, I think it's a bad idea. As followers of Jesus Christ, every relationship, whether it's marriage, friendship, whatever it is, it's dysfunctional because of the fall, because of the messiness of sin. So I would encourage, don't do the silent treatment. But you see, with God, it's a different dynamic. With God, he is perfect and righteous. And when he does this silent treatment with us, it's to draw attention. It's to get our get us uncomfortable, to make us restless. Listen, now this, mind you, this is in the future from what we're talking about here, okay? This is in the future. This is going to happen. But what is being told is going to happen in the future is what has already happened in the present reality. Amos 8:11, the days are coming, declares the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water. So I'm not going to deprive you of food. I'm not going to deprive you of drink. Here's what I'm going to deprive you of. Hearing the word of the Lord. And they shall wander, and it says they shall wander to and far. They're going to wander everywhere. And guess what's going to happen? They will not find it. And what we see happening here, remember, this is the time of the judges, and I'm getting you guys trained on this. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And God said, fine. If you want to do what is right in your own eyes, I'm going to allow you to experience that, and I'm going to step back, I'm going to be silent, and I'm going to let you experience the reality of what happens when you try to remove me from the equation. He's still present, though, as we're going to see. He hasn't abandoned them. He hasn't given up on them. But the silence was speaking volumes of how much judgment was taking place there. And I do want you to think, could God's current silence in your own life be the result of sin? Could the current distance that you feel between God and you today, could it possibly, I'm not saying it is, could it possibly be God drawing attention to your need of repentance, your need of drawing near to him? Or do you have a false sense of security? So we see God's judgment in the silence. We also need to see God's grace in the speaking. Go to verse 2. So at that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God, that would have been the lamp that was used for light. They couldn't go over and flip the LED switch. You understand that? So they had this in the light bulb. The lamp would have been lit in the evening. It would have lasted till morning. It would have went out. Well, it was still going. And Samuel's lying in the temple of the Lord. So Eli is staying in his own place. We don't know what that looked like practically at the temp, at the place of worship, but where the ark was of God. And then notice what it says, then the Lord called Samuel. These are hopeful times. You get that? You get that? The Lord called him. It's been rare, and then all of a sudden, now God is speaking. This is significant. 2061, assuming Jesus hasn't come back yet, Halley's Comet is going to come again, okay? So I will be, Lord willing, if I'm still kicking, I'll be 85, so that's 40 years from now. I'll be 85 years old. And I guarantee you, when that happens, it will be on the news. They'll probably be shirts out and everything. It'll be a big thing. Why is that so significant? Because Halley's Comet comes every 75 years. So best case scenario, in your lifetime and in my lifetime, you will see Halley's Comet twice. Because nobody's living 150 years. Do you understand that? So it's that thing that's exciting. Well, I mean, this is more exciting than Halley's Comet. God is finally speaking. We're going to look later in 1 Samuel 28. Listen to Saul. I'm in great distress, for the Philistines are warring against me, and God has turned away from me and answered me no more, either by prophet or by dreams. And we're going to see with Samuel, with Saul, God's silence is God's judgment on Saul. Well, if God's silence is God's judgment, God's speaking is God's grace. This is exciting. Jeremiah 15, 16. Your words were found and I ate them up. And your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord, O God of hosts. So I have to ask you this today. Does God's word excite you? Do the scriptures get you pumped up? Because here's what I think has happened. You and I, we have fed ourselves so much on the things of this world. We've developed our appetite for these trivial earthly matters that the things of God no longer have the same, they don't pique our taste. Do you understand that? Because you and I mean, we get excited. We get it, and I'm guilty of this. I'm excited about a football game today. I get excited about these like trivial matters, and yet I can approach the Word of God with kind of a regularity, kind of a routine nature that I fail to appreciate that God Himself is speaking to me. Not only are these hopeful times, they're humble times. Listen to what Psalm 8 says, thinking about the distinction between the Creator and the creation. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Why am I addressing this? Because I think we don't appreciate how shocking it is that the word that was so rare is now regular. The word that wasn't happening is now coming, and it's coming to a boy. I mean, listen to this. It's so confusing to them. Three separate times he says, Samuel, Samuel. He runs to Eli. What do you need? Eli is the spiritual leader of God's people at the time. And he's not even thinking that this could possibly be Yahweh. And after the third time, he's like, you know what? This is God calling him. You understand just how humbling it is. It goes on, it says, we need to make some distinctions here. Verse 7 says, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. That does not mean that Samuel was not a believer. What it means is he has not had this experience that he's about to experience with Yahweh. Now, last week when we saw that Hophni and Phinehas did know the Lord, they were unbelievers. But this instance, it's not a matter of him not having a relationship with him, but the relationship had not reached the level that we're about to see happen with him. But it's humbling. It's even the idea that the lamp had not yet gone out was just a reminder that God was still faithful, that God was still there. He steps in. He's not a distant God. He's active. These are great times to be alive, that God speaks to us. Are you wowed by God today? Are you wowed that he speaks to us? Are you humbled by his pursuit of us? Friends, this is awe-inspiring. This is more exciting than a last-minute touchdown. This is more exciting than your wife when she said, I do. It's more exciting than when you found out you were going to have your first kid. This is beyond comprehension that the God who spoke creation into the existence wants to be in a relationship with you, and he communicates to you. Where's the awe? Where's the wow? So we see the word of the Lord. We saw the judgment in silence. We saw the grace in the speaking. And as we look at the one who God graciously speaks to, I want us to see that it's a lot more than just simply about the recipient. With the hearer of the word, I want us to see that, first of all, he receives the word. Go down to verse 8 with me. It says, "In Yahweh, in the Lord, he called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you called me.' Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling him, calling the boy, and he said, Eli said to him, 'Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.' So Samuel went and lay down in his place." Notice, first of all, what Eli is encouraging him to do. He's encouraging him to be looking out, to be attentive, to be aware. Now, mind you, Eli's been slow. It's taken three times before he's realized that God was speaking to Samuel, but he's finally got it. And he wants Samuel to be aware that God might be speaking. I think there's a difference on how fast we travel and how much we pay attention. So if you're on 475 and you're doing 70 miles an hour, you drive through downtown Perrysburg doing 25, or you walk down the street, in those three scenarios, which one are you the most attentive? Let's be honest, which one? Probably the walking, right? The slower you go, the easier it is to be attentive to what is going on. And I think what happens often when we start talking about hearing from God is we fly down the road with the radio blasting metaphorically, and there's no room to hear. Our lives are so loud. They're so busy. We have no space for God to speak to us. Notice what time of the day this happened. At night, the stillness and quiet of the night. Friends, we need to be alert. We need to be attentive. Peter said this, 1 Peter 1:13, "Prepare your minds for action. Be alert. Set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." We need to be intentional to hear God, to look for someone. So if you're here today and you're feeling like God has not been speaking to you, I have to ask you, how alert are you? How attentive are you? But not only do we need to be attentive, we need to be asking. We need to be listening. We need to be humble. He goes on in verse 10, "And the Lord came and stood at calling at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel,' and Samuel said," listen to what he said, "'Speak, for your servant is here.'" A servant is somebody that does what? Who serves others. So if you go to a restaurant today and you have a waiter, or waitress, a server, what is your expectation of that server? They're going to get your drink order. They're going to take your food order. They're going to bring your food. They're going to make sure your food tastes good, that it was warm, all of those things. And at the end of it, you're going to usually tip the person because they were a good server. Serving is a humbling position. As somebody who waited tables in college, it is humbling dealing with rude customers. and you keep a smile on your face, and you treat them like a king or queen. Well, there is a sense, that's what we're kind of hearing here, from Eli to Samuel, is like, I want you to approach God and say, here I am. I'm your servant. I'm listening. What do you have to say to me, God? What do you want me to do? Psalm 37, verse 7, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. I think it's a treasured quality in the Bible, that humble spirit. I think part of the problem with why we don't hear from God is we're conversation dominators. You've had those people, right? You're talking to somebody and they keep talking and you never get a chance. And then if you're selfish enough, like we often are, we're thinking about what we're going to say when they finally stop talking. So it's a terrible conversation. So they only want to hear their voice. You only want to hear your voice. You can't wait till they're done so you can share your voice. And I think that's sometimes us with God. Are you listening to him? Do you provide him time to speak and just listen? Because not only does he receive the word, he relays the word. Go to verse 11. Then the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel which every ear will hear, will tingle. On that day, I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. I declared him that I'm about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew. His sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. First of all, when God relays his word, he wants us to relay it to others because the word comes with purpose. You understand? God is not telling him arbitrary knowledge. You understand that? God isn't telling him what he's going to do to Eli and Eli's kid, Samuel, just thought you'd want to know it. I mean, how many people, you and I think we're filled with knowledge sometimes. It's like, why do I know this? I worked at UPS for 13 years. I have zip codes in my head that I don't know why they're there. I ran into somebody and somebody said Hudson, Ohio, and I said the zip code out loud to them. And they looked at me and I said, I don't know where that came from. I'm like, why do you know that? I was like, UPS. It's useless knowledge. When God speaks to you and I, it's never, ever useless knowledge. James 1:22 says, be doers of the word and not only hearers, deceiving yourselves. God is telling him what he's going to do to Eli and his son because the expectation is Samuel is going to communicate that to Eli. Part of the problem with when God gave Jonah a word, remember? God told Jonah, go to Nineveh, preach a message of repentance. And what did Jonah do? He went the opposite direction. Because he knew God wasn't just telling him that for arbitrary nature. He knew that, hey, I want you to go and do this, and I know if I go and do that, they'll repent, you'll extend grace, I hate these people, so I'm just going to flee from it. God gives us his word to be faithful with it. Well, what are you doing with his word? How are you using it? How are you telling people about the message of the gospel? Not only does the word come with power, the word can be painful. So we get to verse 15, listen. Samuel lay until morning, then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And then notice what he says there, and Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. Did you get that? Why is he afraid? Because he is a bearer of what? Of bad news. God's word can be hard to hold. Can be awful. I remember growing up, I remember the commercial, Publisher Clearinghouse. You don't know what I'm talking about. They would give big cash prizes away. I think if you signed up for magazine subscriptions, even though they'd always say no purchase necessary. But they would show up at these houses and they would have what's called a prize patrol. And they would show up with like flowers and a band and like a giant life-size check. And it would be like, Johnny, you just won $7 million. And the person would be like, whoa, and looking around and always confused. And I remember as a young kid, I was like, that'd be a sweet job. Like being a bearer of that kind of news. Because we like being a bearer of good news. We don't want to be the doctor that has to walk into a room with a patient and his spouse and telling them that they have terminal cancer and they've got 4 months to live. Like, we don't like, we want to be the prize patrol. We don't want to be telling somebody about a disease or sickness. And I think here's the hard, very difficult reality that we have to come to face with God's word is sometimes we're the prize patrol and sometimes we're telling somebody that they got cancer. And sometimes it's both. 1 Corinthians 2:15, we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance from death to death. To the other, a fragrance from life to life. It should unsettle us that God's judgment is resting on people. Did you hear that? I think there is something wrong with our humanity that we can speak the message of the gospel and speak the truth of sin and judgment and condemnation and wrath and can do it cavalier and with no movement of the emotions. I'll be honest with you, as a pastor, I love speaking messages that are more prize patrol based than judgment based. Part of the reason we go through books in the Bible is so you get the balance of both of those. And even in the judgment, I hope you see the grace and mercy in Christ. But sometimes as a pastor, I have to say a word that's going to unsettle you, and I'm not going to apologize for that because I'm going to have to one day stand before God. And I would rather you be unsettled by me because I spoke truth. I would rather you leave the church and at some point be awakened because of that, then you sit week in and week out comfortably before me while I'm holding back the truth. And what does he do? He speaks the truth. Listen to what he goes on. So Samuel told him everything, and he hid nothing from him. And then notice Eli's response. It's pretty amazing. It's the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. Friends, we need to convey the fullness of the word. We need to be faithful. It's a sword. Swords cut. It can and should cut. Well, are you watering down God's message? Are you afraid of the response of the hearer? Are you faithful with it? Friends, we have such an amazing opportunity in the world we live right now. There is a longing for truth. There is a longing to hear from God. And guess who gets to be the instruments of that? You and I. So be a little less afraid of offending and be more afraid that these people are going down a path that's going to lead to wrath and condemnation unless God steps in. All right, we're not going to do this. I think it would be interesting, though, to find out who has the most famous person's cell phone number among us. Do you think you're that person? Wouldn't it be interesting to see in our group who has the cell phone where they have at least a close enough relationship with a celebrity-ish famous person that you could call or text them or you could name drop? I look at my list. It's not that. Probably my most famous person is Jason Quinn. He's a big shot in the community. I'm embarrassing him right now. He owns Freeze Daddies with his wife. So that's it's not LeBron, but maybe it's like a step right below. You know what is? I jest and I laugh and I'm joking, but I mean, think about the concept of everything we talked about today. God speaking, friends. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you've got the most amazing, important person in your phone. More important than whoever, president, whatever the person is. You have God. I mean, God, access to God. So here's our final application. One, I think we need to behold this reality, this glorious truth that God has spoken. Now, I need to stress this. Please do not be sitting at night waiting to hear an audible voice from God. I don't think that is God's natural mode and order of how he's going to talk to you. But you know how he has talked to you and I? Number one, through his son. Hebrews 1:2 says this, in these last days he has spoken to us by his son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. God has spoken us through his son. So if you know Jesus, it's because God spoke to you through his son. He spoke to you through Christ. He spoke to you through the gospel. But not only did he speak to you through the word, through the gospel, the word made flesh, he spoke to you through the scriptures. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." I think if Samuel could come up here right now, he would look at you and say, "You guys are luckier than me. I was in a room near the ark, and God spoke to me, but you have Christ this side of the cross. You have the Holy Scriptures. You have the Holy Spirit living and dwelling inside of you. Do you understand how blessed and how privileged we are?" But not only do we have that glorious truth that God has spoken, I think here's the application. We need to listen to God. I think part of the problem is we're not hearing him because we're too busy, we're too loud, we're too distracted. We need to be still and know that he is God. So here's a homework assignment for you all. 5 minutes at some point in this week, you sit down with God's word, alone, quiet, and say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And I think secondly, in light of that, is I think we're not putting ourselves before his word. We have too many substitutes. Stop trying to fill a void that only God's word can fill. This is my prayer for us, Psalm 131. "Oh Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me, but I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with his mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me." Let's pray. Father, we come before you right now and we acknowledge that we are bad listeners. We're either too busy talking or too busy listening to stuff that we don't need to be listening to, that we don't make the time, the effort, we don't put ourselves in a place where we can hear from you. But God, just like you did with the Israelites, we know that you're a God of grace and mercy. You're patient, you're slow to anger, you're abounding in love. And when we finally give you that time, you step in and speak. So we pray for that. We pray for everybody here, that we would be a people that are hearing and listening from you and then relaying and doing that message. And we do pray, God, if there's anybody here that has never heard you for the first time, that today might be the day. Today might be the day where you open up their eyes, open up their ears, open up their heart, and they hear you call their name, that you're knocking at the door, and that they would answer you, and that you would come in and be with them. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please stand with our final song of worship?